All right, friends, just like you always knew, Mailbag Monday for the Locked On Nets podcast. We're going to dive in on questions from everybody from YouTube, from Twitter, a lot of really good conversations to have here around Kyrie Irving and the potential pursuits on the open market for the Brooklyn Nets and Sean Marks. What did we expect to see and what would we like to get more of from Steve Nash as the head coach as we see some turnover on the staff? All coming up, a deep dive inside the mailbag right after the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, it's the Locked On Nets podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. To my left, you'll find Doug Norrie, owner-operator, DFSR. He's got you covered for all your daily fantasy sports rankings from DraftKings, FanDuel. It's just where you need to be, quite frankly. I'm Adam Armbrecht, breaking down the New York Football Giants on the One Giant podcast with my boy Andy Mack. We thank you for making us your first listen of the day, free on all those great platforms. And like we say, Doug, mailbag.
Oh, baby, we got so many good questions. Adam and I sitting in the same room today in the old Armbrecht Studios. So we haven't done a ton of these live together, usually all on location remote. So got the setup going here, excited about it. Tons of great questions. Thanks for everybody on Twitter and YouTube, some DMs, really a lot. You know, there was some overlap, so we're going to try to pile some of these together. But overall, just like a really good group of questions here. And frankly, to the point where we're going to cover them over the next 2 days because there was just too much to cover. And all of it's really great stuff. So when we looked at it, we just said to ourselves, this is going to be a two-parter. But yeah, tons of great stuff to talk about.
And by the way, don't let me forget that we want to thank everybody that today's sponsor for the Locked On Nets podcast is going to be Sakara Nutrition. Sakara is a wellness company anchored in food and medicine on a mission to nourish. Go to sakara.com/lockedon20 or enter code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off at checkout. All right, my friend, the mailbag is open. And this... what could be more timely than talking about Kyrie Irving? This came over from Michelle Livingston on YouTube, who this is a few days ago. She asked the question, should the Brooklyn Nets consider Sean Marks not re-upping Kyrie Irving and spending that money on the open market? She gave the example of like a Zach LaVine who's clearly made it. He's going to leave Chicago. He's going to the open market.
Well, he's going to the open market. I think, at least he tests the water.
Yeah.
I think he's probably going to end up resigning. But I don't think the question was like necessarily about LaVine. It was more about how to handle the Kyrie Irving situation, RE money. In some ways, this is easy for the Nets because they really don't gain anything by Kyrie opting out unless they just don't want Kyrie. Like from a money perspective, they are already basically over the salary cap for next year, even if Kyrie Irving left. So they don't have, in this way, the decision in some ways is easy because they don't have the option to sign any of these guys. They cannot, even if this was some robust free agent class, which it's not, but even if it was, they don't have the ability to go out and sign anybody on the open market because they're already essentially over the salary cap. And just and the easy way to think about this with these salary cap and luxury, frankly, luxury cap teams, is just think about the moves that these teams have made in recent years. It's all, you know, mid-level exceptions, taxpayer exemptions, and veteran minimums. Like that, and rookies if you have them, right?
Buyout guys after the deadline.
Exactly, buyout guys, right, you know, mid-season, stuff like that. Those are the moves. They are not making free agent moves. They can't. They are inhibited by, from or prohibited from doing that because of the salary cap and the luxury tax. And so the Nets are already one of these teams. So in that way, the Kyrie Irving decision is made, right? Like it's, they can't get LaVine. Let me put it that way. they couldn't, even if they so desired him because they thought he was the all-time best free agent they could ever have to think, they don't have the ability to do it unless they started shipping out trades, but they wouldn't be able to do that because they have to trade like for like contracts. So that's kind of where they stand with this.
And that's the dollars are not created equal, right? When you are correct, the Brooklyn Nets and the money that you have on your books or players that are on your books, something we'll get into later in the week and just over the course of the offseason, right? The Bruce Browns, the Nicholas Claxtons, guys, are they going to come back? Is Patty Mills going to opt in? Those dollars don't hurt you in the same way that open market right. dollars would, which means that they cannot say, oh, well, if it's an opt-in for Kyrie Irving and he doesn't take that money, we now have $36 million plus available to go spend. It's only if it already exists underneath your cap that you can then continue to spend, extend, go max contracts, and be over the cap and into the luxury tax threshold.
Right. Now, so, and we're going to get to the Claxton and Bruce Brown piece later, but so the difference here is they can re-sign those guys. Those are guys they have bird rights on, right? They have this ability to do that. The other difference, though, is those dollars are still not one for one. Like, it's not, you know, pay Bruce Brown $10 million, you paid him $10 million. No, you pay him $10 million, and then you pay $40 million when it comes to the luxury tax.
Bruce Brown, $40 million man, as we all know.
Well, this is why this has become sort of a talking point in Nets Nation around, it's like kind of no longer a GM decision, it's a Joe Tsai decision. Right. Because now it's really just about money. If they can, quote, break the bank for these guys that are already in the team, Claxton, Bruce Brown, like that, Kyrie, if they want to sign him to a max extension, things like this, they can do that, but it's really a Tsai money decision at that point. It's not really a basketball, you know, you're not finagling anything at this point. Like, you're not, you know, all those, well, it's funny because
go ahead and crunch those numbers again for me.
Yeah, well, that's like the old Always Sunny thing. It's like, oop, crunched.
Did it help? Right.
So this is why this Kyrie situation, just to wrap it back to the original question, is so interesting, because the Nets are essentially between a rock and a Kyrie Irving place here. They don't, it's really only a question of whether they just don't want him on the team anymore.
Yeah.
Because there's no real other benefit to having him not be on the team. Like, you, at least for this season, and probably for next season too.
So then that's the big, so that kind of goes, that falls into this additional question when we think about wanting to pursue another player. Okay, you can't do that. The money doesn't work out. Then you're saying, and that's why you should automatically want to have Kyrie Irving back, because it could be, well, in theory, right?
Right.
You could say, well, because it's going to take 2 years to be in a place where you could do something on the open market for big money on a player. But the problem is,
I mean, frankly, honestly, being honest, probably 3 years. Like, it's because of the Simmons contract.
Right. We'll get into here in a second, too.
It's not exactly right. Joe Harris comes off the books. It's a little different. But yes, it's going to be years before they can do anything here.
And then, so the dovetail question is, like, would you just as soon, then you say, what if you wanted to go pursue Zach LaVine? Okay, you can't do that. But should you then still not want to pursue Kyrie Irving and retain him? Because whatever that timeline looks like, it only gets extended further, right? Not keeping Kyrie or not re-upping him on a four-year deal. Well, whatever version it's going to look like, you could be now 2 years down the road on that contract saying, and we're still going to be 2 years away now. Like, you're always extending that window. Now, that's a part of being a championship team. We talked before we got on, and everyone knows it, around like teams like the Lakers, right? And you mentioned the Clippers. Teams like this give you the sample of saying, well, you always want to go with the best possible opportunity to win. And when do you say, and this is an off-season conversation for the Nets in general, when do you say, this isn't going to be the version?
I mean, I just don't think you can say it at this point. I think because you have Kevin Durant here, there's no way you can add a player. And at this point, you just probably only need to look at the talent. You can't add anywhere near the Kyrie Irving's talent, whatever you even think of him, anything else, right? Like, all the other stuff we talked about.
Pure basketball.
Just if we're just talking basketball, you cannot add a player of Kyrie Irving's talent at all in the next few years on this team. It's functionally impossible, unless the only way you could do it is if somehow Simmons just returns, and this, he still wouldn't be a Kyrie's level probably. Like, even if Simmons returned to peak Ben Simmons that we saw, and at that point you either thought you had a really great thing in him, or you could actually at that point, and you cured all the questions around him, then you can maybe flip him plus some of those Philly picks into something else better, right? But that's such an if, like, I can't even, I can barely say it with a straight face. This is why you're probably just going to see Kyrie Irving back. And I think also, though, why you saw Marks make the comments he made, because, like, hey, we're probably going to do this, but we have to try to have it at least be a little on our terms.
Yeah.
like it has to be wrapped up in a little around, this isn't just the Kyrie Irving hour here. It's a team thing. And as much as I can do ahead of this extension to get out in front of that, we have to do. Because I think in the end, it'd be bad if they didn't bring him back, I think. I think they have to bring him back. The other basketball options are just not good enough. And so, unless, again, like, you sign and trade for him, I don't know why any other team would do that. So I don't know. I think that's where we are.
So, okay, but then that'd be a great way to close out this part of the conversation before we get into the Ben Simmons piece, was the sign and trade opportunity. Now, let's use the Zach LaVine model of saying Zach LaVine is not going to return to Chicago, and Kyrie, you know, the Nets would prefer not to have Kyrie. Can you go like for like and say, okay, now, just don't now think we'll Chicago sign would do it. Yeah, see, and let's take it away from Chicago even. Just in general terms, that is the one ripcord the Nets could pull, would be to find a player of a talent level that they like and do sign and trades. Both teams get involved and then the money matches up and you can make it happen that way. But to your point, Kyrie Irving is not a clean, the pure basketball player versus, oh, can you be trusted if you're going to go to Team X? And then even then, you're still trying to find teams that have big enough contracts to send you, and those tend to create a whole new slew of problems. And that's why it gets so mired by the end of it, right? You think you want to go down these rabbit holes, or at least I know I do. And then at a certain point, you go, oh, I'm just in the dark now. I have no idea which way is up, and this is why you don't see things like this necessarily happen.
Yeah, and it's, and he's just such a unique case, too, that I don't know why anyone would take the risk at this point to, like, ship off assets to take on Kyrie Irving's contract, unless, and Kyrie Irving, the player in person, if you thought you had questions about it. And so this is why it's just such a, as is often the case with these things, these players have more value to the team they're on than they do to most other people. Not all the time. You know, there's Anthony Davis situations, and, you know, there are other situations. But often when we get into these situations, like the
players,
frankly, the Sixers are like this with Harden now. It's like, they're in the same spot. It's like, well, what are we going to do? Like, we're gonna lose them for nothing. We just shipped off assets, right? Like, we're not gonna be able to bring in the same even whatever you think of Harden. We're not gonna be able to bring in the same quality player. So at that point, we're probably just married to this, and whether they want to or not, it's a little different, but it's essentially why these situations end up. It's often why the players have the teams over a barrel.
Because it's fruitful, like in this, you say it's fruitful for Kyrie, right? He wants to get the most money he can. That's with the team that he's currently on. And then if you talk about even, it's like, oh, well, the player option and pushing, but it always ends up being the best case scenario is keeping that high level talent, because the alternative is not, again, it's not a one-to-one of how you move forward without them. I want to get into then the what if around this piece that would make this question look a little bit different as far as what Sean Marks and the Brooklyn Nets could do. But before we get into that, my friends, if you're thinking about wanting to look and feel your best, it shouldn't mean deprivation. It shouldn't mean starving yourselves. We're beautiful people.
No problem there.
You don't got to worry about that. As I like to say, I'm in A shape, not shape. Instead, though, you can choose joy and abundance. Saqqara's organic, plant-rich, transformational nutrition programs are designed to help you cultivate body intelligence so you can nourish your body and experience the results that you want. This is another great product. When we say we're enjoying something that we're talking about on the show, it's because we genuinely are utilizing it in the mornings. You know that Saqqara is a wellness company anchored in food and medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. Not only right now can you go over to Saqqara.com, you can get 20% off for our listeners on their first order when they go to Saqqara.com/LockedOn20 and enter code LockedOn20 at checkout. That's Saqqara, Saqqara.com/LockedOn20 to get 20% off your first order, Saqqara.com/LockedOn20. Okay, so then the next piece of it that dovetails off of the one-to-one decision process around Kyrie is that you have Ben Simmons, right? We talked about what did you get back in return for the James Harden trade? It was picks, it was Curry, but it was also, even though less costly of a contract at north of $36 million, it was still $36 million. So having that on the books, which keeps you over the salary cap, which keeps you right on that tax threshold, means that you can't just take away the money of Kyrie and go somewhere else, because Ben Simmons is also there.
Yeah, and this is why all three of these things I was going to say Durant, but Durant's not part of this, really. Right. Like, this is why these two things now are totally linked together, right? Like, their fate now is, at least for this season, is probably twofold. One is bringing back Kyrie, and I think there's, like, some outside chance he signs the player option and then test free agency where he could actually earn more money next year and plays his way back into, like, the good graces of the NBA. If he's not already there, I think people have different things about Kyrie. But
can I totally derail us for a second here?
Yeah.
If in the world that he signed the player option, would that open the door to you in that idea of, like, oh, like, could they trade him during the year? You know, would that be something that would look different if it was, hey, he's on the player option? Obviously, teams are in pursuit of championships. If Ben Simmons isn't ready for the year, is this team going to be capable? Like, all of those other factors that go into it, would that change your perception of how the Nets are looking at him and even how he's looking at it, right? Like, how are both parties looking at it? Listen, do the player option. Let's see how things look as the season approaches. And yeah, maybe there is another team that's going to be willing to give you that max and look to open up a window and win with you somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that there's a world where that could happen. He would have like very little trade value at that point because he'd be essentially an expiring contract. And like, even if he was playing, this is why it never is going to play out like this, right? So think about these scenarios.
I'm a bonus one too.
Okay. So Kyrie Irving's playing great. Great. You don't want to trade him because he's playing great, right? And the team is doing well. Kyrie Irving has no showed or is playing poorly or whatever. Well, now he doesn't have any trade value. So right. Wrapping it back to Simmons, the same thing is true for Simmons now. Like, you have two scenarios now. You have one, he's coming off back surgery, hasn't played in a year. Who on earth would trade for him at this number and these years? Nobody. Okay. Now he comes back. He's playing awesome. If he's playing awesome, there's a good chance the Nets are doing very well. Therefore, they don't want to trade him. Like, they're all just tied together like this. Like, this is why the Nets so badly need them to just come back and play well. Not for their trade value. It just means because that means they're winning.
Right.
Like, because if it doesn't go well, or there are any more questions about either of these guys for whatever the different reasons are, it means that the train has completely come off the track and they almost for sure have no trade value. So it's all just tied together.
Well, and so the one caveat I would throw in is like, if it was a discussion with Sean Marks and Kyrie Irving saying, hey, you're going to be gone from here, sign the player option, show that you're committed, and we'll get you somewhere else, right? Like, that would be the understood mechanics.
Do you think there's any world where that works with Kyrie?
No. Okay. By the way, he's like, totally. You know what, guys? I love it.
It's not even a dig on him. I just don't think that that's his personality. I don't think that he would... Look, we don't know Kyrie Irving personally. From having covered this for a while and talking about it a lot, that does not strike me as something that Kyrie Irving would be motivated by.
No.
I think he has plenty of other things he's motivated by. Again, I'm all in on the skills. It's like all that. I just don't think that conversation would work.
Now, the other one, though, that we talked about this previously, and it came to mind. I never got to ask you this. This feels mailbag. Do you wish that this is from Adam Armbrecht, submitting a question for the podcast. Do you wish
long time listener,
first time caller? Do you wish that the NBA was a little bit more like MLB? I asked you this about
in what way?
So Aroldis Chapman, a handful of years ago, the Yankees had him. Yeah. They weren't going to be winning, so they traded him to Chicago Cubs. They got back farm system players. They got back assets. He went and won Super Bowl. He went and won a World Series, and then re-signed with the Yankees in the offseason. So this would be the perfect world would be like, hey, show that you're committed, Kyrie, take the player off or whatever it was, and then go, you know what? And this is really about last year. You go, why don't you, go help. Because it was talked about at the trade deadline, the Lakers, when things were opened up in LA and they could have benefited from a full-time Kyrie. It was like, oh, what would you give him? Like, I don't know, man, give me anything and we'll re-sign him to the contract in the offseason. Yeah. That I always found that mechanics of MLB exciting in that regard, and also knowing that even in that iteration, Kyrie wouldn't get the max money coming back.
Yeah, and he wouldn't get the money, and I just don't think players are wired like this. I think
NBA doesn't seem to work like that.
It doesn't work like that. They're too superstar-driven. Aroldis Chapman, for as famous as he is, isn't like anywhere close to the level of fame that these guys are, right?
Like, he's not Aaron Judge, or he's not Trout. Exactly. Like, that would be something.
And even those guys are like pale. On a face recognition, definitely pale in comparison to some of these other guys. Right. But, you know, the only other example of that was kind of actually LeBron. Like, going to Miami and then coming back to Cleveland, like letting Cleveland stink for a couple of years, getting Kyrie, you know, like getting enough assets kind of pulled together to be have him come back and make a team. But in general, that's just not really what happens with these guys. So I don't think that would be a conversation. I think, frankly, if they were to part ways with Kyrie, there probably would be a significant amount of bad blood.
It would have to sour to that point, because it would have to be all these offseason conversations and expectations being set to only have, and it could go on either side. I'm not pinning it on Kyrie, right? But Kyrie could not fulfill his end of the bargain, or in whatever version of it, the organization didn't fulfill what expectation they set for him, right? And they go, well, that's it. Like, this thing is fractured to the point where it can't work anymore. And I guess the only side of it you'd want to be on it would be Kyrie, because it means things still maintain with Kevin Durant. The other side of it is like, the wheels have come off this organization and it's going
to
be the scrappy.
And we'll wrap it back to this free agent thing. Yep. Like, so the original question was, you know, what can they do in free agency? The answer is really nothing. Like, they can do a mid-level exception. If Patty Mills doesn't pick up the option, they can do some veteran minimum contracts. We have some mailbag questions about that. So we'll get to that stuff. The full answer to this, but the reason is just not like a, it's just not a one-to-one, like, hey, they can't do anything. They can't do anything because they're tied kind of long-term to some very questionable, and I hate talking about people like this, but like just for the purposes of this, as like a money thing and talent, like some very questionable assets when it comes to NBA basketball. These could be somewhat like reclamation project assets where they are way more valuable a year from now than they are now. I think that's like a not unlikely scenario, right? Like there's a world where these guys on the basketball court and from other teams' eyes are much more valuable a year from now than they are now.
Yeah.
The problem is right now that it doesn't exist. And so when it doesn't exist, they have no other choice but to play out the cards as they are now. Marks's job is 100% on the line with this. Like, it would not shock me if Sean Marks was not the GM a year from now. I think he probably will be, but there's a world where you just made a bunch of moves that went the wrong way. they're in a catch the falling knife territory with this.
And let's just extend on that a little bit before we get into one of the other elements, the questions around Steve Nash and expectations and what type of standard you're setting for a head coach, depending on how you looked at him coming in. But you mentioned Sean Marks. It's like, the funny thing is, when things start to fall apart, it's always going to go in a certain order, right? You don't get rid of the superstar talent first, you get rid of the coach, or you go up the chain of command to the GM. But the picture that we paint about it too is like, fine, Sean Marks is gone. The incoming GM still has all of the same restrictions in terms of moves that you could make. So I do wonder, like, how far does that timeline go out for everybody in some ways? Like, Steve Nash is probably the least safe of these guys, but because financially you are restricted in some ways, I hate to say it because I want to see a better version. And in some regards, I start to think I want to see a different version of this team around Kevin Durant. But ultimately, it's like, well, no big shifts are coming here in the short term. So why make any dramatic moves? And that speaks to the end of the season press conference and not saying Steve Nash is gone. These things are all over because, again, we're not going to be able to really shift anything for at least a couple of years.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like this, and you know, we'll get to Nash here in a second. I do want to talk about Nash because we had a couple good questions there about Nash and about the coaching situation. There's a little bit of news, so we'll get to Nash here in 1 second. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar. I got home the other day in the box in the mail. Built Bar had sent over the birthday cake puffs. We dove right into them. They're absolutely delicious. Even my kid jumped into it. She just ran by the window here outside there. She'd jump on. She actually asked, I'm dead serious about this, asked to do a read about the birthday cake puffs Built Bar because she liked them so much. I said, no, wouldn't be the professional thing that we're going for here. But if you haven't tried the puffs, they're kind of trying to make it a birthday cake every single day, but make it actually healthy for you. It's 100% covered in white chocolate. And they even added in the sprinkles to give it that little birthday cake flavor. Only 150 calories, 16 grams of protein, only 9 grams of sugar, which you're never going to believe when you actually bite into these things. They're, like I said, they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. You can eat healthy and actually taste good. You know, you're getting the best protein kind of bar on the market. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Hey, you make us your first listen. Why don't you make Locked On NBA Big Board your second listen? It's host Rafael Barlow. He's breaking down the NBA draft. He's talking about the prospects. It's free on all the platforms, and it's a great way to dive in on that aspect of the offseason for the Brooklyn Nets and for the NBA at large. Let's then, as you say, talk about Steve Nash. More from Steve Nash. Who brought up this question?
Michael Camerata from YouTube.
There is our friend over there who said, like, you know, again, now you know that you're tied into some of these players. This is the team it's going to look like. Where do the expectations go now? Because, again, this offseason, we're going to see more turnover on the coaching staff. And it seems like now, with every passing year, it seems like they're refining it down to Steve Nash will now either be the success of this coaching staff or the one who gets blamed for it, because we've now rotated through and other guys have gone other places. You let Ime Udoka go to Boston instead of maybe promoting him. Now Vanderpool is going to be gone, right? So, like,
Mike D'Antoni is about to become Mike D'Antoni could become the head coach of the Hornets here.
Right.
Like, we are.
Maurice Stoudemire, very viable head coaching candidate. A little bit tongue in cheek, but nevertheless, but you're seeing a lot of turnover. And so he's the guy. He remains in place.
Yeah. They're in a weird situation with the coaching here. And in some ways, you want the situation to be where your coaching tree gets picked because you have good coaches on your staff. Like, that should be something that happens in organizations a lot, because it means you have good guys on the bench and you try to promote other players, or sorry, players. You try to promote other coaches and they're good too, and they keep going too. We've seen this multiple times. You've seen this in the NFL too. Like, this is just what happens, right? But usually that happens with long-term established coaches who have groomed a new set of coaches that have worked under their tutelage.
Right.
That is not the case here with Nash. Like, Nash was given or had other guys that came on and worked with him, maybe because of Nash, because of Nets, because of Marks, for whatever reason, not because of Steve Nash, the coach. Maybe it was because of Steve Nash, the player. Ime goes and is on, you know, we're recording this before game 7 for the Bucks, but no matter what, he's done an unbelievable job. Success. No matter the outcome of the Bucks Celtics series here, Udoka's first season with the Celtics was like an unequivocal A+, right? So you already know Mike D'Antoni already had the track record, kind of came over as a, you know, stopgap kind of guy to come in. And I think everyone saw the benefit of it, right? Vanderpool is a guy that is being looked at in other circles and is being, you know, he's going to get a job somewhere else, like at a higher position. Yep. So like, he's going to go out and get somewhere else. And then you have Jacque Vaughn on the bench. You know, he looked good for the short time that he was the Nets head coach. It's hard to know how much that translated. My point is, there's been a lot of turnover in the coaching ranks here. A lot of the guys that seemed like they were the really, you know, some of the other brains in the room have left. And I don't think that's a good organizational thing here. Like, I think Nash has probably not had enough time to fully figure this out, has probably been helped by some really good assistant coaches. And now those coaches are leaving. And I think we just kind of even begin to feel that this year.
So then, because you just asked that question. I get, is it an organizational failing? Now, I mean, Ime Udoka, he gets an opportunity. What can you do? You can't say sure. You're not going anywhere. And also, though, and they managed to keep Jacque Vaughn, right? They paid him a significant salary. Should they have done the same thing with Ime Udoka and said, hey, we'd really like to keep you around here for another season or two? Is it the organization's fault for, we know we're putting in it's not a figurehead, but a guy that's supposed to be here to help with these egos, that's played on that level as Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, the superstars, but we want to surround him with valuable minds, right? It sounds like D'Antoni just wanted to leave after that year. He wanted to go be also a consultant somewhere else to reestablish his head coaching value. But is that a failing on them, or is it indicative of, this is why the organization looks at Kyrie, the players, and the result and all the issues that have happened and say, this is as much the factor as anything. This is why we don't judge Steve Nash yet, because I can point to a dozen other things that are factors.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you could make these excuses forever. I don't really know what the answer is here. All I do know is I think we clearly saw the benefit of Nash having really high-level assistant coaches for his first year.
Yeah.
Ime, we just know these guys are good now, right? Like, even if we already knew they were good, and now it's even more cementing that, like, they are good. Like, we knew Ime now was a world-class coach, yeah. Right? Again, it was mostly known anyway, but whatever. We already knew D'Antoni was on that level because he had done it for years and years and years, and he was just a great basketball mind.
Right.
Vaughn, okay. We knew what we knew about him, and that's, you probably like to have him as an assistant coach. He handled the head coaching, you know, situation good. I just think that a guy like Nash, it's just not like a NFL, like a Belichick thing here, right? Or like a Greg Popovich coaching tree. Those guys were there forever and they coached the guys up so they could go out and get other jobs.
Yeah.
Here's a situation where Nash probably needs these other guys. Like, I don't know if...
because I was about to say, to the question that was asked, you need to see more from him. This is probably where, if you're Steve Nash, for better or worse, results as a fan, if you're Steve Nash, I want control. Like, I've had this rotation of my staff. I've had great minds around me. I needed that support system probably over the first couple of seasons. But what I also need is to be able to put in what I think is my best version of the game plan and then live with the results, right? Because if you want to speculate, was D'Antoni doing a lot of the offensive legwork for them? Or is it, you know, what did Ime Udoka's role have there? What does Jacque Vaughn's role have? Whatever it may look like. Like, Steve Nash, his reputation as a head coach right now is about as low as it could possibly be, right?
It's tenuous, yeah.
Right. So, if you're Steve Nash, like, at the very least, like, give me the full reign here.
Well,
there has been turnover, whatever. Now let me go execute it. And maybe it's already...
No head coach could ever use, hey, I lost all my assistants as a reason they didn't win. So, like, I would just say, I don't even think you can frame it that way if you're Nash. Like, he should have always had control. If you're the head coach, you should always be in control. Like, it's too late to say, hey, give me the control now. You've been the head coach for 2 years. Like, yes, it sucks to lose good. He's never said this, by the way, but no. It sucks to lose assistant coaches, but in theory, that shouldn't really matter.
Put it this way. He should be excited that now this turnover is happening here, that Vanderpool is going to be gone, that you've lost these other guys. The other guys are gone. Cause now it means that if at any point it was considered that this is a coaching by consensus with other members of the staff, it's now me. I can't be going. It's impossible for me to go into year three and have the organization say, well, what we'd love to do is get in, Brown, who's up for more head coaching jobs, or we want to bring in Mark Jackson, like fans are always clamoring for, as an assistant. He'll just be there as a sounding board, right? Like, at some point, Steve Nash has to be not the excuse of, oh, I've had other guys around me, I didn't have total control. Just be like, I'm doing it. This is me now. And if it goes horrible, it goes horrible. If it goes great, then I get to get the credit, because everything up to this point, I'm getting blamed for on the one side of the other, which is the nature of being a head coach.
And it's not going to matter here by the end, because this season, it's either he's basically taken the team pretty far or he's probably not the coach anymore. I think that this season.
Let's close on that then. Mailbag question. How far does Steve Nash need to take this team? Assuming all that, that Simmons is back healthy and they have Kyrie back. Where do they have to go to? Conference finals for it to be like, hey, we did it? Like, that's probably success, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, because I don't even think the injury things would even matter anymore. I think, like, at some point.
No, it'd be changed for change sake.
Yeah, I think even if they dealt with a situation like they dealt with this year, he probably quit, frankly. Like, if they dealt with
everyone's done. We're all done.
Like, I don't even know why. He was so embattled last year with some of this stuff. So I just think this is, it's so funny. All these guys are just wrapped into the same sort of. They're so perfect for each other at this point, because it's all
weird, ambiguous.
It's all kind of like, I'm not sure anyone else would have us, but we're all kind of tied together now. And like, that's kind of it. All right, we'll get out of here. We're going to do more mailbag stuff. Yeah, the other day, we did have one cool question that we're just going to take 2 seconds on here.
Oh, yeah. Fans over on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. So the motive, I can't remember if the motive was on. This is a person.
This
name.
Is over on YouTube.
On YouTube.
He had said he'd love to get a peek behind the curtain about, he says we're a very organized show, as I like to think we are.
Yeah, which was really appreciated.
And
yeah.
What goes into it. And we always, we love any of the supportive comments that we get. And I think the two sides of it are, the one side is when we started it as an independent podcast, you and I sat down and we're like very diligent about, this is the structure we want to have. We want to try to be thoughtful around the content. We don't want to be hot takey. So we sit down usually for 10 minutes, 15 sometimes before we record, and we go, this talking point, that talking point. Hey, Adam, you've gone way too far afield. Let's rein it in a little bit. And we come up with a really, what we think is a really concise, fun show. And then the second part of it was, frankly, getting onto the Locked On Network.
Yeah, it made it easy. So we started as another. I'm not going to say the other podcast because I'm not sure we can. We started as another independent podcast. You can figure it out. We started as another independent podcast. Locked On Nets needed a new host for this one. They came to us. They asked for us to do it. It was great. But the idea was, you're going to do it every day now. Our other one we did two times a week, maybe something like that. This was every day. And Locked On has given us like a ton of resources. It's a professional organization. It's just, you work on a network. It's like all the things that you wouldn't think about, they kind of make you think about. So I think it's been a combination of those two things. I thought the question was good, and I really appreciated it. I know Adam does too, because we try really hard to make it professional. And I don't think we had the goal of making it like a professional kind of thing. We had some goals around it, but it wasn't that. But it's a combination of wanting to do it, having a plan, talking about it all the time, even when we're not on the podcasting trading. I don't even want to count how many texts over the last 4 years about what we're going to talk about, and then having resources like of a Locked On Network. Who, by the way, I mean, Locked On, if you don't know, that's made by David Locke. He's the play by play guy for the Jazz. Like, these are really great basketball people right across the network, and every sport, by the way. But just have, and the folks at Tegna too. Like, this is a professional organization now, and when you work for a professional organization, the expectation is you'll be professional. But they also, the expectation is they will provide you the resources to be professional. So that's
absolutely awesome. And I'll pay us the bonus compliment. Like you said, like, I think our generic or our default personality is like, well, I want this to be really good. Right. There's no mail in, and everything becomes easier when you're on something like this. So that's the deal. The motive, we again, very appreciative of all the support. and just the compliments that we get over on social media. And the idea is that we keep doing it and we don't let it go to our heads.
All right.
I think we've also done well.
Yeah. Tomorrow we got more mailbag stuff. We got a ton. I mean, we're going to talk so much about centers tomorrow.
Yes.
Like it's going to be a centered show. There you go. You like that? Give me a note on that one. We basically just had so many questions about centers that it was hard to section into one thing. So we're going to end up talking about centers just in general, because the Nets just have an unbelievable amount of centers on the team that aren't, none of them are really centers. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe over on YouTube. There's still time to leave questions over there. We have probably enough for 3 mailbags. Right now we're going to do 2, but if you get another question in, we can definitely add it to the third one. So make sure you like and subscribe over on YouTube.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of a really good Brooklyn Nets podcast? That's the owl from that show, the cartoon, or
one of the commercial. Tootsie Roll, Tootsie Pop. Yeah. That little owl that for some reason like Tootsie Rolls. Okay.
Three.
One of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.